Welcome to the Poetry Break. I'm Mark Harshman, and as the seventh poet laureate of West Virginia, I'm going to be sharing with you once a month the finest poems I can find from some of the finest poets in the world, including many from right here in Appalachia. I love poetry and believe that poetry is not only not hard, but is accessible, relevant, and offers pleasures unlike any other. William Carlos Williams famously wrote, "It is difficult to get the news from poems, yet men die miserably every day for lack of what is found there." I believe that. And somewhere C.S. Lewis wrote that a pleasure is full grown only when it is remembered. Nothing remembers better than poetry the pleasure to be found in life fully alive. So, to begin, we thought it best that I simply roll up my sleeves and read a couple of my own. And so here's a poem titled, "You Piney Mountains." In the old fiddle tunes, there is always a stream running, rocks and roaring cascades. In the best tunes, in the You Piney Mountains, there's a rising wind, a young girl's whistling, a piper readying for battle. And someone's on their deathbed, true enough. And a cat is screaming, strangled with midnight desire, sure. And somewhere Granddad is mumbling to himself, granted. But there are, as well, frothy backwashes, and somewhere above, little grace notes echoing within the bell jar of quiet. In the woods behind all this silver singing, a child adventures through a swift settling fog, the oak and hickories mute with secrets. There are no easy endings, and yet the pulse keeps ticking where the faceless player predictably returns the up and down ladder of seconds and days and years. The stream, of course, keeps speaking its many tongues, running syllables and notes loose and free over its ancient bed. But is it running with whiskey, or running with fire, or just now simply running with spring, icy on this first warm day, running only to run away? This next poem is a poem I wrote for a mother whose son had died tragically at the age of 20, and it's simply called "Done with Lying and Bad Luck." If I could tell you the stars knew that they were for you, could say they were cool fires that would come to you, gather at the mast of your days a single enduring sun. If I could tell you the crickets here wanted to share with you their simple meal, the green, the dew, a piece of wind, that they had the road to all our dead open through the tangled wonder of this garden, if I could give you their dictionary, their scores, their fiddling beds, if I could give you room larger than the night, a dull scythe of moon done with lying and bad luck, if I could bow you the old songs in the corner there beside the fire, the long ago mornings, the lost ones, the old ones, your mother's mother's hands leading you up in the dark mornings, her hand, yours, ready for the sun, if I could, if I could. It's winter, so here's a winter poem. And I think sometimes in winter, it's especially hard to find hope. I struggle with that here in this particular poem. What there is, a slow sifting snow, and here and there a patch of earth glows with it. Just enough of a tear in the sky, enough of a slit to let the sun work its light upon the fragile frost. A million downy crystals ignite, and you would almost think, you just might, that there was a path out there where the cold is gathering. In rural America, and especially here in West Virginia, there's a real sense of using everything that is at hand, of never letting anything go to waste. In this poem, I'm remembering a story a couple of friends told me about what they did when they were out scavenging pieces of tin from an old rundown house. A winter of sweets. Far below the hayfield, in a grove of post locusts, Jim Gorby, exploring an abandoned house that had stood below the old Miller place, was ready to believe in ghosts when Jerry Briggs, home from the war, stopped hammering on a sheet of tin he was hoping to salvage and revealed an infernal roaring deep within the old clapboards, as if a thousand restless spirits were clamoring to be let out. And as his eyes adjusted to the lamplight, he witnessed a long wall pulsing and wavering with sound. The trembling there transferred itself quickly to Jim, who, white-faced, began easing himself from the room. But Jerry had heard of this before and knew, and a day later, in better light and cautiously with smoke, began unpeeling the century-old poplar siding, lath and mortar dusting the toes of his boots, and there, beneath the thumb of his crowbar, found a giant's hive of clover and locust honey, a marvel to see and, as he was like to say years later, promising a winter of sweets. Any poet who lives where I do in along the Ohio River in the upper Ohio Valley, works under the shadow of one of America's greatest poets of all time, James Wright from Martins Ferry, Ohio. And I have in mind Wright's hometown of Martins Ferry when I wrote this poem. The place names are there. I do always like to explain, at one point I mentioned an airplane trailing letters. It's a sight we don't see much anymore in America, but I remember as a boy seeing little propeller airplanes dragging signage through the skies overhead, and that comes into this poem. I also want to mention that James Wright had a real fascination with the men, and it would have been men in his generation, who had to go into the river and bring out the dead, the drownings, the suicides, and that figures into this poem as well. Diving for the Drowned, for James Wright. Off the river and up the hill into Ferry, my first time beyond the four lane to downtown, brick and glass, the Five Roses, deluxe novelty, Dutch Henry's, the turreted bank, the strung stoplight centering town, and overhead an airplane trailing its letters, Bob Sumner, county clerk. A good day to advertise, a dark, shingled sky, only here and there licked white with the race clouds of the cold front. A good background for words, the letters only occasionally tipping out of sight. A good background, the valley direct and unmistakably Appalachian, the crowded squeeze of houses between hill and river, between factory and rock, coal and smoke, the kind of place you want to leave and somehow never do. Small towns like this hold on forever, their close blanket of sweat, their tight rooms of cigarettes and cold where you fight to sleep, their everybody knows you, faces flashing everywhere you turn on the brick-rumpled streets. But there were heroes, ones who knew something, who knew the underriver and found the lost. The river's stink, a pale skin of rot upon them. The ones who came back living, rising with stories from that dive into the green silver and silent current, who had reached into that liquid night and rose, having touched death with life, yet having brought no answers, but the persistent one that lives with the telling, the return of words that keep us close, next to each other. The poems I read today come from my book, Green, Silver, and Silent, published by Bottom Dog Press in 2012, or else are forthcoming from my new book, Believe What You Can, to be published by the Vandalia Press of West Virginia University this coming year. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Harshman, wishing you good words in the air and on the page.